Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to welcome you to the inaugural voyage of Hey Kids Comics. And I'm going to start like this. I'm going to start with a quote from Shakespeare, and we'll come back to why I'm quoting Shakespeare so you guys don't think, why is this knob quoting Shakespeare at the beginning of his first at the beginning. I'm going to get the introductions too, and you'll figure out who's laughing. But why is this knob introducing his comic show with Shakespeare? But I'm going to go ahead and read this, and y'all know it. It's a speech from Hamlet, and it is valid. It goes a little something like this. It goes, "To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing them, to die, to sleep."
Well, that was the intro from issue 0 of Hey Kids Comics. Tonight is a very special night. Andrew here with me as always is Cole over there.
In my rented tuxedo. I got the kind with the ruffles because I saw a movie once that just made it look dynamite.
Was it Dumb and Dumber?
That might have been it.
Because it was dynamite. Tonight is a very, like Cole said, and the reason for his dressed up and the reason we have our special musical guest we'll talk about later, is that it is our 50th episode. We made it to 50. That's really impressive. So we wanted you guys to hear where we started so that you could see just how far we have either come or not come, depending on how you feel.
In fact, as a retrospective, we recommend you go back, listen to number 0.
Right.
Compare and contrast, and then send us a 250-word essay.
Cuneiform.
Which I realize is a very short essay.
But believe me, there isn't a lot to talk about. So, we made it. This episode is entitled A Year of Living Comicsly, because not only is it our 50th episode, this, coupled with the next episode you're going to hear, is our one-year anniversary.
It is indeed. It has been 50 episodes, 52 if you count the fact that we split number 6 into two parts, and we had a number 0.
Right.
Because we like to mix things up the same way the comic companies do.
We don't number things.
Yeah. When they were doing the number 2000s or whatever
Do you remember DC 1 million?
Yeah, DC 1 million, and then you got those negative ones and stuff that were going on.
Oh,
and then if you have your collection, you don't really know where to put them.
Right.
Because you have this dream that one day you're going to go to your comic boxes, and I'm just going to read all 750 issues of this title.
Yeah, Batman. I'm going
to
knock it all.
And then you have to go and get on Wikipedia to figure out, hopefully, what the hell order some of the issues came in during the 90s.
Negative one is pretty easy because it'll go before the three zeros they've released.
The problem is if you read negative one.
Right.
And then you read number one. And you're talking about things that were written in entirely different eras.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy, softened up. I read -1. He was biting people's ears off.
It's like, I don't know what.
Stabbing grandmas. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I must be careful not to.
Did you say slamming grandmas or stabbing grandmas?
Stabbing grandmas.
Okay, because slamming grandmas I saw open for Cafe Ultron last year here in town.
Oh,
it was pretty good. Yeah.
I've heard of them. They were a Chicago band.
They were in the 40s. I don't know how that worked. But, so this is issue 50. We just want to take a little bit of time, first of all, to say thank you. Secondly, to kind of reminisce on where we've been, because I never expected it to be this. I never expected this to happen the way it did. And then,
I'll have to say, when I was approached with the brutal weekly schedule, and I often call it brutal, and it
is brutal.
And that is very tongue in cheek. I mean, yeah, it gets a little brutal. And we hold ourselves to a higher standard than we pretend to.
Right. Of course.
But I thought, well, that'll be a fun thing for a while, and then we'll both get tired of it.
Right.
And then a year later, we're already planning like the next 90 issues or something.
Right. Our high-tech way of planning these is just like an Excel spreadsheet that we send, and Cole writes, and then I get all confused and have to ask him what the hell's happening because he's the producer, and then he has to be like, okay, this is what we're doing here, and then we're like, oh, God. So
it even has the release dates and everything, and
right,
neither of
sure
us can quite. Well, we'll be like, oh, what is tonight's top? I have to open the spreadsheet. I didn't even have the foresight to do that.
And what's funny is the release dates have episodes that were supposed to be, or issues that were supposed to be, like, this last, you know, year, been pushed out to the next year. We're a disaster. If anybody ever got a hold of this show for real, would be like, what the hell? Like, if somebody was like, all right, I'm going to buy your show for $1 million, but you have to give over everything that you do. Like, oh, yeah, you're in for it, buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. How about $500,000? We'll save you some trouble.
We just won't even tell you what's happened. How about that?
That's right. We'll give it in the oral tradition of this show. We will tell you what happened.
Yeah. Well,
of course, you need look no further than the upcoming Bill Willingham episode, which has been pumped at least twice.
At least twice. I have a guest that's going to be in the next year. I finally set it in stone today that I've been trying to get on in the last year. And he's somebody that I've been promising that I was going to have on the show since, like, the first week of the show. So literally a year of me going, yeah, no, we're going to do it. And then I forget about it for 2 months and I'd run it back.
This should have been titled The Year of Living Promisedly.
Right. The low-hanging fruit year. Like, we would hear something and be like, let's do an episode on that. We had the attention span of gnats is what it really comes down to.
So all of our listeners can live the life of Tantalus with every episode.
That's right. It's somewhere between Tantalus and Sisyphus. I'm not sure. We're constantly pushing the rock up the hill, and then we see something shiny. And then
it's like, oh, apples.
Right?
Tractable apple tree. Let's check that out.
Guys, first of all, thank you each and every one of you listeners. If it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for the fact that we do get correspondence and we do see hits on the websites and we do hear from people when we're out and about, hey, you know, we listen to the show. Hey, we like the show. Hey, you know, keep doing what you're doing. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't do this. Otherwise, it would just be every other night that I talk to Cole on the phone, which
this is the broadcast version of a conversation. A little more targeted.
Yeah, focused is what I was going to say. It's a little more focused than what we usually talk about. But it's the
targeted
same thing.
Makes it sound more martial, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it makes it sound a little more Mao than if it wasn't. We are a little more focused in that respect. But thank you guys so much. And, you know, in case we haven't made it clear, you are literally the reason that we're doing this. I can talk about comic books all day long with any number, you know, of people. But I'm talking
to, especially those that'll bother to listen.
It doesn't matter to me whether they're listening or not. I'm still going to do it. The whole idea here is that, you know, we are having this conversation with you guys, and you guys listen and you guys have that feedback and you guys talk to us, and I couldn't be more happy with that. And that's the reason that we set the standard as high as we do on a weekly basis, and that's the reason that we try to take your thoughts into consideration and what you guys want to hear. You know, we do hear things from you guys, and we appreciate it. So
absolutely. And one of the things that's really nice is when we get those rare opportunities out in the world to discover, wow, you've actually listened.
Right.
You know, we do have an audience beyond a handful of friends that we browbeat into listening. I think for me, one of the highlights of this year was back in August when I had the incredible good fortune to be invited to join a number of friends at Celebration 6 in Orlando.
Right.
And help a good friend of mine, Jeffrey Carlton, promote and sell his books. Pretty much just be cut loose most of the day, each day we were there. And there was a party that he had tickets for that he couldn't attend. And meanwhile, back at the hotel, I collapse in an exhausted pool and get a phone call. Hey, do you want to take this ticket and go and attend on my behalf? And so I drug what was left of me down the street to the hotel where that was going on. Ran into somebody just, you know, carrying on conversations and shamelessly promoting the Jedi Cole universe with my brand new trading cards. Some of you may already have the first edition or the second edition of the trading card. And the third trading card will actually be late this year.
Right.
Second editions are nearly gone now. Gave away over 900 of these things at Celebration. I handed this guy the card, and he takes a look at it and says, oh, you're Hey Kids Comics.
It's like, no, really?
And I thought, you know, no prompting necessary. It didn't just jump out and say, Hey Kids Comics on the
right.
postcard. And it was just a remarkable feeling. Like, you know, here I can actually see the ears that have listened to our work.
Right, right.
And the person they're attached to, which that's the sort of thing that really
blows your mind.
Would we do it anyway? Yes. Would we do it as often? No.
No, no.
If we didn't have a listenership, if we couldn't just go look and say, well, people all over the world are dialing in, and, you know, we'll put out a new episode, and certain ones of them just catch fire.
Right. I mean, you guys are actually listening and want it. That's
and it's a very gratifying to be able to know that's going on, but it becomes all the more real when we just run into somebody and say, well, you sound familiar. You know, I've listened to your work, and, you know, Eddie Medina, Funky Cold Medina, will come on the show and, you know, preach to the choir for us.
Right.
to tell everybody what a good show this is. And we can't thank him enough because, you know.
And we can't thank Bobby enough for telling everybody how crappy the show is because nobody believes him and then goes and listens to the show. That's so right. Keep it up, Bobby. Yeah.
Bobby's a wonderful work of reverse psychology, and we can't thank him enough for not mentioning which episodes he's on.
Bobby's kind of a work of reverse biology as well, but
this is only because Bobby probably won't listen to the show, but this is for you, Eddie.
He'll laugh. That's
that's right.
That's the other side to that.
And then the other really remarkable thing for me is the spreadsheet actually came out of the fact that there were too many ideas.
Oh yeah, we couldn't keep track of what we wanted to do.
Early on, it was sort of like, okay, what are we getting now? And then the story arcs helped a lot because that bought us several weeks to come up with
more stuff. Yeah,
with some standalone.
And then the reoccurring features that we couldn't figure out what we were doing, what we were reoccurring, and when they were reoccurring. We just knew
if they were reoccurring,
right? This show, guys. In case you haven't noticed, this show we have been podcasters for, you've been podcasting a lot longer than I have, Cole. How long have you been at it?
How long have I been podcasting? I'm getting dangerously close to I'm easily well past the 5-year mark.
Right.
Which means I'm probably going to be dangerously close to the 10-year mark, which that alone to me, however many years ago it was, back when I got hooked up with VaderCast.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard of podcasting. I'd heard tell of this thing called blogging.
Yes.
Which, by the way, back then was more like, I'm going to write a diary.
Here's all my inner thoughts.
Everyone in the world had the key to.
Right.
And it turned out, well, podcasting, well, that's not such a bad idea. It's sort of the same sort of thing, but it's more direct. It has generally one focus, and it isn't necessarily yourself.
Right, right.
And, you know, here I come with no foreknowledge, and people who knew a lot more about computers, who probably already forgotten more about computers than I'll ever know. That one's for Tim Kennedy, who apparently will now be working very heavily in computers, I understand.
Nice.
But, you know, here was something I had no idea what I was doing, but all I had to do was sit in front of a mic and just spout off whatever came out of my mouth.
Right.
And I discovered something that, even though we were kind of talking at a mic, and at the time we were literally all in the same room, and then later with Rick, Amazing Comicast, United States of Geekdom, when Andrew came on board as well, you don't even have to be in the same room to have that same feel.
Right.
And that's been really remarkable.
From this show, you know, we've all learned so much, because going into this, doing a weekly podcast, we had done a sort of a weekly thing when over at the USG, which is the sister site to JCU and all that, with the
Collector Sector.
Thank you for remembering the name of the show that I created over there.
exactly.
We had done
that's why you keep me around.
It wasn't like this. What we did over there was more we all just got together and just messed around for what would be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
It was intended to be maybe a half hour show.
I had envisioned it to be a half hour show, maybe 40 minutes tops, and it ended up being like a 3 hour show.
It would turn into a free for all at times. And in many ways, it was the genesis for this. The focus was certainly more, here's what's coming out.
Right.
Or as this one's for Stu, here's what's coming down the pike.
Here's what's coming down the pike.
Which a phrase for which I got no end of grief from Stu. And I do believe when he imitated me, that was the number one phrase.
Oh, every time.
You know, if you even if you couldn't distinguish that he was trying to affect an American accent or trying to mimic my soft tones, you could certainly pick up who he was trying to parody when that phrase came on. So we learned a lot from that because, you know, there was a vision that became something else and it evolved into something else, but it was okay for what it became.
Right.
Because ultimately, how many hundreds of thousands of places could you glean all the information? In fact,
right.
All the information we were spouting off was gleaned from somewhere else.
Right. The whole reason we did it wasn't so much to provide the information as much as it was to say, all right, we want to tell you what's coming out and we want to be jackasses while we do it, which is fine. We enjoyed it. We actually had people that were upset with us when we stopped.
Yes, that was the most remarkable thing because we began to look at each other and think, you know, what are we doing? This has just become tomfoolery and jackassery and
just it was bits and characters all the time, which yes. I am all for because that's all I do in my normal daily life. But we stopped providing information and it just became, let's do an impression of this or let's create a character and let's do.
Let's read the entire list of what's coming out in character, and I think that ultimately that was probably what people were missing. Like, if I want to know what comics are coming out, there's a dozen websites. I can go to my local comic shop's website,
right,
and see what's coming out this week. What that will not give me is Gilbert Gottfried telling me that, you know, there's a new Star Wars statue coming out.
Garrison Keillor for an hour.
That's right. For no good purpose other than to entertain Stu and Andrew.
That's right. And apparently other people, which that was the thing, is we just thought we were entertaining ourselves. Turns out we were entertaining a lot of other people as well, which is a good thing. You know, that's a good thing. So,
I think that's also a good example of how we literally, even if we didn't have an audience, we would do it all the time anyway.
Exactly.
But maybe not as consistently.
What have your big takeaways been from the first year of doing this? Like, what do you want to remember?
I'm still trying to put my head around it being a year. I go back and look. I'm actually assembling this will be, I believe, next week. We're gonna have a skip week next week.
Right.
And we're going to be publishing for the, it turned out, the second time in a year. Apparently around issue, by the time we got up to about issue 18, I think.
Yeah.
This is how sad this is. We've only tried to help you out once. apparently, not even halfway through the series to date. We did a thing called the Back Issue Bin.
Right.
As sort of a placeholder for a week we were going to take off. One of only a couple that we went away from this for an entire year, which that, again, what?
Yeah, exactly.
How did these things happen? And I'm putting together the update. I copied and pasted because I'm too lazy to redo my work.
Right.
Those first 18, and that's when it really hit me. Wow, we only did this one time ever and that far in. And I've systematically, as new issues have gone live, have added them. This the back issue bin, when it goes up next week, will even have this number 50 on it. So you will have 0 to 50. You click on it, it takes you immediately to the page with the show you want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got our titles on there, so you can kind of glean what we were goofing off about that week. And if you know, if you're so inclined and you've got 50 hours to kill,
jeez,
to, you know, you can download them all and kill a few weeks or months travel to work or what have you.
Right.
Kind of catch up on the show and see how this has evolved. I'm kind of keen to do that myself, but I lack the scientific sophistication to figure out how to
put it together, put
something where I can then put it in the truck and listen. So I'll have smart people come over one day and figure that out for me. But you know, that it's speaking to what do I take away from this? That was really one of the most I had to take a moment to step back and really reflect on, it's been a year. It's been 50, you know, now 50 issues. That's 50 hours plus, right. Because there's probably a good half hour of us just dicking around before the
before and after, right?
So another hour after. Like, we just can't shut up.
But that's true story.
You know, we have to kind of warm ourselves up a bit, and it's kind of like that little, I think people who exercise do a little workout before they go and run.
Right, you got to stretch. You got to get limber.
I saw that, what was that, some other playbook that won the Academy Award. That,
the Silver Linings.
Yeah, I think there was some running in that at one point. So.
Right, that's the closest I'm getting to running.
Yeah, and I haven't even seen the movie yet. That's how far away I want to stay from that. But... You know, it really, it gave me a chance to kind of pause and think about the fact that we were getting to the point where we weren't happy with what collector sector, not that really we were unhappy with what it had become, but we weren't happy with the fact that it wasn't being the tool that it was meant to be.
Right, right.
We had changed it from like a proper claw hammer with which one could build. To one of those Harley Quinn hammers with which one, like, you know, it has like a bonking noise when you hit things.
Right.
And, you know, it became time to, especially because it was Andrew's baby. This was something that he created with a set idea, and then little by little it grew into other things, and different cast came and went, and it just became the fun free-for-all. And right. It was time to kind of get back to basics and figure out, was that even really where you were headed? And that was the feel I got when the concepts were being kicked around for this show way back then, a year ago.
Yeah.
Was, you know, do I want to do a show or we just, like, read off a list?
Right, right.
If we want to do a show where we read off a list, Collector Sector never would have become what it turned into.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that the answer we found in ourselves and in what that became. So then it was more like, okay, what do you do instead? How do you celebrate comics? Well, the answer is, of course, you celebrate comics. You dive in head first, and you don't just say, oh, well, you know, today we're going to review, you know, Astonishing X-Men or Ultimate Ultra Super X-Men,
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly, exactly.
Whatever the latest incarnation is, hair-raising X-Men, I believe, is the latest. and not that there's anything wrong with that. I think that if I was an active comic reader, I would gravitate, especially having participated in a review on the when I was on a show recently, a different podcast, to talk about Ultimate. And I was invited to actually, you know, sit around and read whatever that new X-Men title was.
Right.
Sad. The one with the red skull. I think Astonishing X-Men.
Yeah.
Was it? Or, at any rate, so, you know, I got to sit in and actually be part of the discussion on that. And that was a lot of fun. It was really informative. God knows there are plenty of people doing that. And so instead, we kind of did a combination. It really, I think, if I'm going to come away from this with anything in this year, is that this show reflects who you and I are. When I was very flattered to be invited to do this because, you know, there's a point where me and comics hit a brick wall, right? I know there's stuff going on the other side of the wall. I like looking at it from the other side of the wall, but I'm not actively going over in that yard and playing anymore.
Right.
So what good purpose would it serve? And like occasionally people in my life have done, they're like, okay, since you're too blind to see it yourself, you will eventually. So I eventually figured out why the hell you wanted me on the show.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious why I wanted you on the show.
But, I mean, from the standpoint of being topical on comics, I certainly was not a go-to person for that. Ultimately, what I've come away with this from this, just off the top of my head right now, is this reflects who we are not only as comic fans, as movie fans, as fanboys, but who we are as people, because it reflects so many of the facets. Every one of these issues has been like looking at whatever the topic is throughout the course of the hour. We're shifting
right.
One facet to another. Sometimes just goofy, prepubescent, you know, just goofuses At other times, almost scholarly, or scholarly as we're like to get. And, you know, and then sometimes fun, a go-go. It's like going to improv. And
I hope it is.
And Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, because you might learn something. And all these different things going on. And, of course, it's a wonderful opportunity for me to just anything that bubbles up to the top of my head from anything.
Right.
Becomes a part of the show, and that's been a tremendous amount of fun. So I think, you know, ultimately what I would say this year has given me is a beautiful opportunity to do something I've really come to love over the years, from VaderCast to Amazing Comic Cast to USG to all the ton of, you know, one-shots I've done with other podcasts, or
right,
the little show, offshoot shows, and my own programming. And I swear I'm working on a new Rant Corp pit. I actually have a topic.
There you go. It's the first step.
And a brand new show coming out that Catherine is hosting, which will actually have aired before this. So
there you go.
Just a few days earlier. If you enjoyed What'd You Think, that's the one I'm pretending I'm previewing.
There you go.
But it brings back all the best of all those experiences every single week. I get to work with somebody that I am very proud to call a friend. And, you know, very proud to get to work with on a regular basis. And eventually we're going to get his ass to Texas so that then we can all move to other states.
That's right. So everybody can clear out.
Because that's what I see happening. I think that's why you won't come here.
I'm scared.
It'll just be this mass exodus that was unplanned and circumstantial exodus from Texas. But, you know, to be able to reveal all these facets on a regular basis to ones or dozens or hundreds of people.
You know, what's interesting is that I didn't think, you know, we've evolved so much. I didn't think this would be the show that we would be doing after a year. I did not believe that was going to happen. I really didn't. I thought that we would be doing a show about modern, everyday, you know, comic books. I didn't envision that what the vision of the show is when I sat down and said, all right, Cole, I've got an idea. I want you to co-host with me. You know, I want to do a show about comic books that isn't about comic books, and this is the way you do it. It's the Seinfeld of comic book shows.
Exactly.
When we sat down and hashed it out, I had no – there was – you could not have told me that a year from that day, or a year from the day we released it, the vision that I had in my head for what the show would become was exactly what it was going to become. You know, with a few very small minor tweaks. Neither of us are millionaires and have yachts, but the content of the show is what I thought it was going to be. And that is pretty amazing, to be honest, that is something that happened.
It would be so easy for it to become, get to that point where you're thinking, okay, this isn't happening. And either you kill it or you switch gears so sharply.
Right.
That right. You're starting over from square one with your audience. You'll have a few people hang around just because they, you know, maybe this sound of my voice helps lull them into sleep.
The thing is, it works. The format for the show, everything, our point, counterpoint, the guests that we have, our friends, the topics, everything just works. There's nothing I would want to change. So, you know, again, thank everybody. Thank you for listening. And you know, I feel good that I produced something and that Cole has produced something, that we're putting something out there that you guys want to hear and that you guys want. I mean, this is the equivalent of Cole and I getting all dressed up, coming to your house with a box of chocolates and flowers and saying, you know, this is, you know, and you guys being happy about it and saying yes to the date. Right. That's
or like DC Cab with flowers, chocolates, and a book of the finest homes of the South.
That's right. But I would be remiss now if I didn't say that the success of this show and the fact that we've gone on for a year is in no small part thanks to the host of the USG, which is Rick Gutierrez. He found me lying in a ditch, covered by newspapers. And
you were actually covered by back issues of Green Lantern.
I was covered by.
If you were covered in newspapers, he would have just run over you like the other three guys.
That's true. That's true. It made him stop. So, you know, I wanted to say that
he's like, "What, Green Lantern? There's a guy underneath."
I had never done an actual podcast before. I'd done fake ones in front of my mirror. I had never done an actual podcast before. Rick called me up out of the blue or wrote me and asked me if I wanted to be a part of, at the time, Amazing Comicast, which later transmogrified itself into United States of Geekdom, which is still to this day going on. We're getting ready to record an episode I could not be more excited about. So Rick, thank you for that. For bringing me into this and giving me a place to play and still giving me a place to play. You know, I don't just like comic books. So I do get to enjoy, you know, another podcast that I get to do where I get to talk about movies or books or other random things. So
things, whatever we come up with.
Right. So Rick, thank you. Cole, thank you for, you know, along with Rick keeping me around and giving me a place to do this. You are the best co-host I could ever wish for and the one of the best friends I've ever had. So and diligent, just pervasively, horrifyingly like an antagonist in a horror movie, just constantly coming at you with emails and ideas and copy and just change it. It's just like I don't know what I would do without it because it keeps my creative juices flowing, but the man is just like the Terminator. He just appeared naked in the street and half of a banana truck was gone and keeps coming. So thank you for that. And I'll thank you again, listeners. Thank you again, listeners, but I'm going to keep doing that. So deal with it. That's also like,
and I have to say about Rick that it's this strange cycle. You know, Tim puts out a thing on fan sites looking for people to be on a Star Wars podcast. I'm thinking, I know what three out of four, or, you know, two out of three of those words were. It's that last one threw me, but, you know, you had me at Star Wars. Then I inadvertently discover Rick. I don't know. You know, he wasn't, like, clad in Star Wars regalia. There was absolutely nothing about Rick other than for some reason.
Right.
You know, he could obviously carry on a conversation like myself for a week nonstop with no provisions about Star Wars.
He's the Bear Grylls of...
Yeah, so I'm just like, you know, this guy has a distinctive voice, so we're going to be like a quartet now.
He does have a distinctive voice. I'll
we finally have all the octave. I know you do music. What do you call that?
The quartet. You got. Yeah, you're right. So you've got it.
We had the full range. You know, with my
it's written in my four parts.
Podcast. My Il Castrato and
podcasts are generally written in four parts.
That's right. And you know, I pretty much just sort of foisted Rick onto Tim.
You're like, this is happening.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, here's our new co-host, and he's like, huh? Because at the time we started with an unwieldy cast, and it dwindled, so we could use an extra voice. And of course, naturally, it worked.
Right.
And Rick's voice on that podcast was more than just somebody else saying words. There were words that meant something. What Rick did was do something I didn't do. I had the podcasting bug because somebody else was podcasting.
Right, right.
Rick got the podcasting bug because somebody else was podcasting, and he thought, you know, that would be something cool to do, too, on a whole different subject. So, you know, we're non-competition. He's not going to, like, rush off and be Star Wars podcast, too.
Right.
So he creates Amazing Comic Cast, and we're still working. VaderCast was still around in some rudimentary form. He realizes quickly, can't talk by myself, gets a friend. They do the podcast. His friend has to move. Then he's like, well, you know, Cole's done podcasting. I'll ask him to be on it. He's keen on comics.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, somewhere down the line, much like with VaderCast, Catherine winds up coming on board. And then there was this mysterious thing where, for some reason, Rick see some Green Lantern guy. We gotta get the Green Lantern guy on the show because we're gonna talk about Green Lantern. Like, okay, you know, I have no doubt that anybody who's a collector and a fan would have a voice.
Right.
No big deal. Who could have imagined that all those years later, you know, here we are starting a year ago on a podcast because by that point I managed to drag myself from the cyber ooze and with a tremendous amount of help from other people who know more, and the magic of point and click. start acting on that podcasting bug in the way Rick did.
Right.
And start producing some stuff of my own. And like you were saying earlier, you know, we still have the USG, which is wonderful. So we have all of these outlets.
Right, right.
And each one of them is different. And then here, you know, this one is, this is your thing. And I think Andy would agree with me that I'll go just nuts. All of a sudden I'll just have this giant 14 topics.
And Will, he'll get on a roll, and then we'll just be sending emails back and forth all day, just with weird, like it just escalates. It's just...
And then I have to catch myself because I keep saying, okay, you know, yeah, you know, technically I'm the producer, whatever that means. You know, it's like the Biff guy song. What's a producer do? I don't know.
Right.
It's same idea when you're doing it. I have no idea, but. I catch myself because I keep reminding myself, wait, well, no, this is your baby. I don't want to tell you how to raise it.
Well, it's definitely become our baby in the sense that I've asked you to do this. So if it's like I built the ultimate Cole Frankenstein and then shot lightning through it and then released it, and then I can't be upset with it when it throws a girl in a pond because I made it to do that. I created it to do that.
If Victor Frankenstein had been more compassionate, he just said, how can I be mad at you?
Right. I mean, how can I made you to do that.
You murdered a small child. How can I be mad at you?
I made you to create these things. I wanted you to come up with these topics. I wanted you to tax yourself.
When you engage the ever-ticking brain, I suppose you know what you're going to get into.
But that's the thing, right? Because as much as it is fun for us to do, and as much as it is, you know, we want to do this for everyone that's out there and everybody that likes it and everybody that wants to hear it and everybody that writes us. And we also do it because it challenges us. We do it because we want to come up with these topics that make us think and make us, you know, sometimes we say we don't do research, but a lot of times we actually do research.
Well, especially back in the teens, a great example is when Andrew posited the sensing, what became known as sensing comics.
Mm-hmm. We got another couple of those coming up too.
Yeah, we have some, and one of our earliest story arcs. And I remember thinking, you know, let's do hang on the senses. I'm like, yeah, that'll work for about 5 minutes.
You were really.
I think there was at least one where we were on the same page with that idea. That'll be good for 5 minutes. And,
that was the time. By the way, that point right there is when it went from Cole thinking that this wasn't going to work. To Cole all of a sudden realizing that it probably could work as long as we put the effort into it. Because every one of those five, you would come to me and be like, I don't know. I'm not, this could
be. Yeah, and there was one where it was like if we'd been sitting across the table, we would both just had this look of trepidation and anxiety going in. And I don't think you would ever know it from the finished product, except if we, which we very likely did, may well have said, there's no way in hell this is going to be a full
We were
step.
So shocked by the end of an hour, by the sense of I think it was smell. We were so shocked at the end of doing that for an hour that we were like, I cannot believe.
I think we were like literally texting back and forth each other, trying to come up with a sixth sense.
Yes.
And we were like making up senses to add, you know, because it was superheroes. We could just throw something out there and justify it.
Right.
But next thing we knew, it was like, well, we're coming up on the 5 minute till mark. Wait, no, I'm not done yet. I'm still talking about.
Right, right. That's the way it becomes. It's like, no, I can. We can
I'm
keep
still getting
going.
A snoot full over here. Come on.
Right. So, okay, speaking of, what do we got coming up? Because oddly enough, we're almost at the 15 minute.
That warning bell
again.
I had a feeling that old chestnut was coming.
Right.
But before we do move away from where we've been, I do want to point out something that I'm sure is not lost on most of our readers, that to me, when Andrew approached me about this, you know, I'm on board. Or what? Podcast? Where? Regardless, it's the opportunity to work with you. You know, the sheer was like this layer cake of, why not? I mean,
right.
Who wouldn't want to do this? But one of the things that struck me as just absolutely brilliant was the structure. And that was each episode rather than their episodes. These are the issues.
Right.
And we're going to have story arcs. And, you know, I think the Comics and Commerce was the first story arc, if I recall.
I think so.
Or Comics, Commerce, and the Almighty Buck.
Yeah.
I kind of remember the Almighty Buck. And, you know, that core concept not only is brilliant, but it's also been one of the most satisfying things from a planning standpoint. Because I find myself looking at, you know, I'll come up with these ideas. Oftentimes I'll shoot something to Andrew. And he's like, well, you know, we could do a whole arc out of that. I'm thinking, well, no way, you're insane. And, but if we did, here's what we would do. And then it becomes an arc. You know? The one shot turns into five episodes because of that. Like you're saying, it challenges us. And sometimes, you know, I get the impression you're like, oh, yeah, we could do an arc. Ha, ha, ha. And then I'll write back. And you're like, damn you, we can't do it.
Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm like, well, now it becomes this. Now it becomes this. I go, you write me with a topic, and I go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get this over with. This is probably enough to do an arc on. I'm just like, it's going to happen anyway. I might as well get it out of the way early. I know we're going to be ended up doing an arc on this, so I'm going to knock it out.
This ties in nicely to sort of the look ahead is that sometimes I will have an idea that I'm thinking, you know, back when Steve, my friend who's been on several episodes, he and I were aspiring comic writers in our high school and college years. One of the neat things about that is by the time we got into college, I was shooting off ideas, and by then he had no qualms about shooting them down.
Right.
Right. If they were crap, he would tell me it's crap. And then I would get pissed. And then I'd realize, well, actually, it was crap. I'm still pissed, but he's right. And so, you know, I've learned to accept the fact that I'm going to fart out things that aren't my best work. And a couple of times, in fact, very recently, as I was shooting some ideas, I sort of mentioned in passing, well, I've got another idea, but it's no good. You know, what is it? Well, no, it's not. No. And I tell Andy, he's like, well, actually, you know, that we could do something with that. I'm like, no, we can't. And he goes, well, I can think of, like, two things. I said, well, I had
no. It was like I would no. I think what I actually said is you and I could do this right now, top of our heads.
Yes, exactly. And I'm thinking, no way. I can think of maybe one thing.
And then said then one thing.
Something to me, and I'm thinking, yeah, because I've got two things now.
Then you had two more things, and then you had two more things.
Yeah, and then that might have been some other stuff that would fit. And
that's the way it always works.
If that's not now in the rotation, so.
So that's a good tie-in. That's a good segue into what we've got coming. What do you think, what do we have coming? Like, what's coming down the pike? What do you want? Let's do this. Let's do it this way. If you could set some loose goals for our next year, for our listeners, that you can say, this is what we want to do. What that's going to do is that's going to tell us, okay, this is what we want to do for you. It's also going to hold us slightly accountable to doing them. So I want to do that. So what?
And one thing I do want to point out, because we're bringing the listeners in on this, is do write to us with. We've done, I think, at least one, if not two, Hey Kids Comics Presents,
right?
Which was our basically ask us stuff.
Yes.
And you know, even if it's just like, you know, what's your take on something? Even if we don't know what it is, we'll pretend. But
we'll try.
we like that kind of interaction to be able to answer some listener mail and make you a part of the show, as it were.
Right. Absolutely.
So we definitely want to bring that back in year two. Looking forward, one of the big challenges has been that story arc idea.
Right.
Right. On the one hand, I like the fact that it breaks up the individual issues. And on the other hand, I don't want to do too many back to back because then it just becomes arc stacked on top of arc. I was beginning to worry as we got closer to number 50, and I'd scheduled everything all the way up to about 53 or so. And I had some spots where we could put arcs in, but it was just like, you know, TBA.
Right.
Really, we hadn't, a lot of it was just between the two of us had not really had a lot of time to sit down and think toward arcs.
Mm-hmm.
There were plenty of standalone ideas in the backlog. We just very recently, that all, I think, in anticipation of this and a lot of things kind of slowing down enough where we're beginning to think, hey, kids, comics again in that great way.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, well, here's an arc, and here's an arc, and we've already got these two that we'd come up with a while back but hadn't really fleshed out. Or, and oftentimes in the midst of a show, what's really uncanny is we'll be recording something, and either the germ of an idea comes out of that, and we talk about that a bit.
Right.
Or what you don't hear is us writing back and forth over Skype saying, you know, it just occurred to me we could go crazy with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And
so we're going to see several arcs that are already getting fleshed out. In fact, issue 51 through 55 will be our very next story arc.
Which is good.
Absolutely. We've been away from the arcing for a while now. It's time to jump back in. Granted, that knocks Bill Willingham back 5 issues.
Sorry, Bill. Bill's quickly becoming the butt of a joke. One day he's going to find out about this, and we're going to be at a comic book convention that he's going to be at.
You! I heard about you!
He's going to get the middle finger the whole time.
And you, a fellow Texan, doing this to me.
Right, exactly. How dare you, sir?
But they also, we're kind of pushing it around because I genuinely want Steve on the show.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of tricky to get that lined up, so it's going to be worth the wait because, hey, it's Bill Willingham. Come on. And for a lot of people are like, so?
No, Bill does amazing work, so it's going to be awesome to...
I'm sure there are people who, until they listen to that show, will have no idea who we're talking about because they didn't look on Wikipedia to figure out who we were talking about.
So, more story arcs. That's definitely coming. More of the reoccurring features. We're going to try to balance that a little bit better in this next year for you guys. An appearance.
We'll be seeing Hey Kids Comics team up. We'll be back where we talk another super team. We're building toward a big one with Great Lakes Avengers, of course.
Oh, thank God. It's about time. It's about time that happened.
Well, you know, I was really resistant until I realized Squirrel Girl went on to join the group. And then
you lightened up a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. Beyond that, more like I said, more recurring features. An actual appearance at AllCon this year. Damn it. That's going to happen.
You can now get a photo op with both of us standing next to the banner with our Bobby Blakey caricatures. If we can catch Bobby, even perhaps do a photo op with us kicking him. Right. Or making us look so ridiculous.
I also am going to try. I'm not going to put myself, you know, on the line for this, but I'm going to try to get to some local conventions to the Midwest as well. Have a table set up where you can come see and pick up some information and come... And I'll be recording there. I'm going to have recording equipment there as well to record you guys if you guys want to come by and talk.
And there'll also be a facsimile of myself hastily constructed from a Safari Limited Mountain Gorilla figurine.
That's right. With a Hawaiian shirt on. He's going to look a lot like Kong Gorilla by the time I'm done with him.
It is actually me.
Kong Gorilla. That's awesome.
And we'll have a little drawstring. You pull it and it says, coming down the park.
That's right. Those things are coming up. Do you have any?
We're coming down the pike.
Yeah, they're coming down the pike. Do you have any closing statements for this? I know we've kind of been rambling aimlessly.
But yes.
It was our chance to BS a little bit after doing this for 50 episodes. This is our chance to talk about the experience, I think, and it was good.
I'm for one, I'm just amazed at the places, the topics, the things that have come out of this. This is the show where old Hollywood was born.
It was.
This is the show that brought you Gandalf-level hawks. This is the show...
Gandalf-level hawks. This is the show that after this is over, by the way, stick around... Because there'll be a brief introduction to our new house band for Hey Kids Comics. We'll let you stick around and listen to that. You'll learn all about that in a little bit. So, Flubber was born on this show.
Oh, that's right.
Frubber, yes. Frubber faces. Yeah, that was. It wasn't born on the show, but it was definitely gotten taken to a different level. The show saw, and by the way. As a closer for me, not only do I want to say thank you to everybody who's listening out there and who's talking to us, I want to say thank you to Cole and to Rick. Anybody who's been a guest on this show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Your Bobbies, your Eddie, you're Rick, you're Catherine.
Kelly, Jasmine.
Kelly and Jasmine and Jason. And
Jasmine, whose episode at the time went for weeks being one of the most...
just dominated.
Yeah, it was just like, it became like the number one episode ever.
Right. Jason got his start here as a podcaster, and yeah. He still loves doing it. Josh, who's been on the show a couple times now.
Steve,
absolutely, Steve. Quiet Steve, thank you so much for that.
Had we finagled Hunter onto this show? Or not Hunter.
Stu was on episode zero.
Yeah, that's right.
The real episode zero.
That's right, yes.
Stu helped me and helped you. Stu helped me, convinced me to come to you with this. That was Stu. Stu is kind of the reason that this show exists. Stu convinced me, because we were talking about it one day when I was kicking around. He's like, go talk to Cole about it. You know, go talk to Cal. Go talk to Cal. Like, all right. So I went and talked to Cole. And so and then Stu was around for the inception of this thing. So Stu's a big reason we're here. Thank you, Stu, for that. Yeah, just anybody who's guested or been talked about, and you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. It wouldn't to be supported and surrounded by the friends that I have.
And also a big thank you in advance to some amazing people who are going to be part of after that skip week next week.
Yeah.
We've got something really special coming up, and you'll know what that is in 2 weeks. And thank you for everybody who is a part of that. Very many people with voices you've heard before and some you've never heard here before.
Right. But thank you all so much. So I'm not gonna end this thing with my usual fanfare. I wanna tell you guys that you guys have made me buy comics. You guys have made me collect comics, and you guys have made me enjoy them, which is something I didn't do for a long time. And this show really brought that back for me. So thank you all so much for that. And stick around for another year. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. There's going to be even more characters and even more dick jokes and even more story arcs. And all of your old favorites are going to be there. Garrison
more visits
Keillor.
From poorly impersonated celebrities.
Right. It's all going to be great. So like Cole said, big surprise coming. Next week, back issue bin. Catch up on whatever you need to catch up on. Listen to whatever you want to listen to. You know, rehash your favorites. Find new favorites.
Listen to our voices change.
Hate us more. Listen for when I have allergies and colds. It's painfully obvious to me when I'm editing. The week after that, huge surprise. A lot of fun. Big time stuff coming. And then we're going to go right back into a story arc, and the ball won't stop rolling. So, guys, stick around.
I got a message about the upcoming new story arc, and something that you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
So that's right.
We're not going to be resting for very long.
If you're leaning, you can be cleaning. So let's do right. This thing. So, guys, I'm going to leave you with this, an introduction to our house band. What's the name of our house band?
We actually found a Scandinavian or...
Yeah, they're Nordic. There's some undefinably Nordic thing.
Possibly Norwegian. I think their front man is Norwegian. Right. Really interesting band. Not normally the kind of music I listen to. I'm more of a Bobby Goldsboro man.
Right.
Neil Diamond.
Hey.
Sorry. I am actually channeling my youth and 8-track cassettes my mother played when we cleaned the house. I'm not a Bobby Goldsboro or Neil Diamond man, but I could probably recite the lyrics to Cracklin' Rose. But we will be bringing you, you'll probably be hearing more, guys. This is Ultron Café.
Ultron Café, yes. Yes, it is.
Ultron Café.
They've got two, they got a debut album.
Yeah.
And they're working on their second album, from what I understand.
I Call Scarf
was their first album. The second album is called I Highly Doubt It.
Oh yes,
yeah, and they have I sincerely doubt it. I'm sorry, I sincerely doubt it. And they have a hit single off their first album called what?
Oh, it was Star Nose Mole.
So stick around. We're going to introduce you to those guys, and again, you guys are the reason we do this, and you keep us focused. And God only knows, don't leave us, because if you do, this is what. Imagine this, but then all of a sudden, somebody lets a fuse and it just explodes into wherever we can't control it.
There is no telling what sort of strange strange Jules Verne-like worlds we're going to discover next.
We're going to be in padded rooms writing numbers on walls. So thank you guys so much for sticking around with us. You guys are amazing. We'll see you next week with the back issue bin and then a very special episode. Thank you so much, guys. Café Ultron.
Café Ultron. We'll all dress in black, but everyone has one component of their costume that is a primary color. Each one of us different, and I call Scarf.
First album titled I Call Scarf.
It was rather appropriate, though, you think. What we should do is, being the frontman for the band of Café Ultron, it would be most fascinating to me to be interviewed by a genuine, bona fide American. It has an international flair, which has been sorely lacking.
That's for Scarf Café Ultron.
What we envisioned for Café Ultron was a Kafka-esque musical tour de force. Then we found out the definition of Kafka-esque and determined that was not what we were looking for.
I do not want to metamorphose. I Sincerely Doubt is the name of our second album.
We would like to open the show with a tribute to Gas and Kila. I hear the old piano from down the avenue. I smell the coffee and look around for you, my sweet old someone standing in the door. It's Saturday. Band is play. Who could ask for more?
Signing off for Café Ultron. I am the keyboard player and saw player.
The longer you're away, the blacker my soul becomes.
Chance Michael Sossman.